and we identified ourselves as an African American apologetic ministry and asked them, why is that? When he was giving interviews to everyone else, why wouldn't he speak to the African American community? You have to realize, I just asked Taman to ask the simple question and nothing else. And that's what we did. And that's when T.D. Jakes said what he said. And of course, the rest of it is history. And I find it extraordinary when you go to these various websites and hear that clip, that they don't call me John Coleman. They call me Jim Coleman. It's not Jim Coleman. It's John Coleman. And they have it wrong the second time. It wasn't John Coleman that was asking T.D. Jakes the questions. It was Taman Pearson, who was basically working for the ministry of John Coleman, into the word African-American apologetics in the hood, in the inner city. So that means that the white apologist did not get the interview. I got the interview. Now, that's that. And in the same sense, when you see me speaking with someone like Fred Price in an open forum, because I confront the person to their faces, I don't get behind their back and scream on them. I don't use the radio, as some people accuse me of. And please don't worry about calling. There will be no call-ins today. I want you to only listen to me. Only listen. I'm trying to let you know why I do what I do. And I have an awful lot to say. And I have to say it because I want you people to listen week after week after week as you listen to Ram Radio and understand why I do what I do. Now, we're in this room, and one of the elders of Church on the Way comes by and questions why we have the cameras. I explain to the elders, and then I also explain to them that I would like to ask a question concerning this event that's coming up. I ask the question of Jack Hayford and the rest of the pastors there, and it went something like this. In light of us knowing what this man teaches concerning doctrine and his denial of the Orthodox faith, how can you, Jack Hayford, and the rest of you pastors in this room attend that place in South Central Los Angeles and affirm him as an Orthodox pastor? That was my question. That was my question. And it was not asked boldly. I wasn't screaming. I was speaking in the same tone of voice that I'm speaking in now. I have, and there are other copies of the original video, as I asked that question of Mr. Hayford. The camera was locked on Mr. Hayford's face as he was looking a little shocked that I would ask it. But you have to understand, I was bold back in that day, just like I'm bold up in this day. And boldness is a part of the territory that I walk in. I respect Jack. I respect all of these pastors. But when you have a heretic on your floor and you're asking other godly men to come to a heretic's place to give this guy not only citywide recognition as an authenticated pastor. And note, at that time, Fred Price was not, he had not been fully embraced as an Orthodox pastor in this city. Now, there were six churches during that time that wrote letters saying that they would not attend the meeting because of where the meeting was held. And as you listen to this bite again, you will hear Fred Price kind of smirk at those churches. And I won't say for sure because I don't have the evidence. I think that one of the churches was Grace Community Church. I'm not sure. But shortly after this meeting, I was called in a meeting with Dr. John MacArthur by his associate pastor, Lance, and they wanted to see the video. And I showed the video to John and Lance in John's office. And as I said last week, John was in the process of writing his book, Charismatic Chaos, Friends, I've been in a few circles. I've been around the block a few times. I know exactly what's going on. John knew that in the community what I do. Everybody knows what I do. And my church was supposed to be supporting me in what I do. But, you know, when the water gets too hot, the frogs stop, you know, start jumping out of the bucket when they come to see what Pastor John does. Pastor John does this. I do that. Now, the part of the interview opens up when Fred gets up and he begins to address the crowd. And what I'm going to do is I am going to splice up this tape and I am going to play certain portions, and then I'll stop and I'll give an explanation of the portions that I'm playing. So I want you to listen to it. He begins by playing the fool. He begins his argument by leveling the playing field by saying that a person's different belief system doesn't matter. Now, whenever a person gets up and tells you that it doesn't matter what your Bible belief is all about, that we can come together and be neutral, there's a problem. That's like somebody in the Baha'i faith coming up to me saying, I'm Baha'i and I believe in peace. And so you're a Christian and you believe in peace. And Judaism is a godly religion. And they would say shalom. So therefore, there is no difference. Well, let's see the way Fred puts it.
But when I heard about Jack Hayford, Foursquare Gospel, Lloyd Ogilvie Presbyterian, and Ken Ulmer Baptist, I never thought about that. It never even occurred to me.
Now, he's lying. He had to think about that. Whenever you think about three different Lloyd Ogilvie Presbyterian, Jack Hayford, Foursquare, Kenneth Ulmer Baptist, those doctrinal distinctives are clearly different. And for a man of his caliber to say that he never thought about that, that is an untruth. That would be like me coming together with a Catholic priest and a Muslim cleric and a Zen master. Me saying, I never thought about whether there's a difference. That's a lie. And you see, friends, whenever you start off your discourse, like, I know these are strong words, aren't they? You did think about it. You had to think about it. This is what ecumenicalism does. You think about all these things. What you're doing is you're coming together with a known ploy. It is the game that works. Now, where do we go in the Bible to find how that works? Well, you can go to Acts chapter 19, if you will, because if you go to Acts chapter 19, we can see perfectly clear where this takes place. It says, and it came about that while Paul was at it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, this is what Paul said to these disciples, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, Paul came upon these people and he saw something unique in them. And then he asked them a question as to them receiving the Holy Spirit. He wanted clarification of what it was. There was a difference. Paul saw the difference, and they said that we have not even heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. All right, so automatically, here's the difference. What did Paul say in verse 3? And he said, into what then were you baptized? See, Paul saw a difference, and they said it was John's baptism. And then in verse 4, Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. Now, look at the difference. And in verse 5, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, for Fred to say that he never thought that there was a difference, one of the things that someone should have said, like I was doing when I went there, is to qualify, look, there's a difference here. This man is word faith. He believes that Jesus had to go to hell to earn my salvation. He believes that we are little gods and we're going to his place to pray together. No, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong. The pastors that were setting out there should have said, wait a minute, there's something improbable about that. The man had to think about that. That was irrational. The man is playing me. But let's continue to listen to Fred's dialogue, and I want you to listen closely, and I want you to do some analyzing here as we listen to this. I'll slow down. I won't beat up on anybody. Just travel with me as we go through this now.
There was a difference. I thought about, thank God we have a place that's available. And this is one of the reasons why I've stayed to myself over the years and have not gotten involved in things, because I don't have a petty bone in my body.
Now, this reference to pettiness was directed directly towards me, because I confronted him. This is a petty issue, he's saying. It's not a petty issue. This is an issue that has to do with the life of the church. Whenever one man confronts another man about the issue of doctrine, it is not petty. It is never petty. It is real, and it must be addressed. When I go to Galatians chapter 2, I begin to read in verse 11, the writings of Paul concerning Peter, who was also an apostle. Fred is supposed to be a preacher. I'm a preacher. But when Cephas came to Antioch, Paul says, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when he came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy. This is the Apostle Peter that Paul is talking about, with the result that even Barnabas, that is the son of consolation, was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, this is Paul speaking, I said to Cephas, that is Peter, the other apostle, in the presence of all, if you being a Jew live like a Gentile and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like the Jews? See, Paul did what I did. But I'm wrong. I'm petty. I'm wondering why those other of the hundreds of pastors didn't stand up and say, wait a minute, that brother's not petty. I think that brother raised a pretty good issue here. I've been listening to that mess you teaching too, and man, that stuff is crazy. But you see, when you are sucked into compromise, y'all get it now? And the ones of you that are hating this dialogue that I'm giving you right now, there's a very good possibility you're not even Christian. Let's just put it right on the line here. You're not even saved. And then you're trying to justify him being saved. I don't know why you would even be concerned about this man being saved. Well, maybe he changed his mind. Go and ask him. I know somebody that recently had a meeting with him. I want the brother to come on radio and to tell you people what Fred said to him, but he won't come on and do it. He won't do it. Why won't he do it? People, y'all better wake up. This is not Christianity. Now, you got the point? Now let's continue to listen to this wonderful, wonderful discourse.
And it sickens my stomach. Pettiness. I refuse to deal with it. I won't deal with it.
No, he had to deal with it with me. And of course, I sickened his stomach. And you know what the word was out then? It was that I'm jealous of Fred's materialism. You know, to people, if you know John Coleman, you know he is not a materialist. If you really know me, I'm not a materialist. I am not into pretty things and money and gold and power and church buildings and all that kind of stuff. You know, well, he must be jealous because he's in that small little church. People, I don't even have my name. The only thing that my name is on a deed is my home. I wouldn't even be on a deed to have a church building. I have no guarantee that I'll get any money next month from pastoring a church. I have no retirement, nothing, basically set up from a church. I'm not looking out for my life. As a true pastor, I look out for one thing, and that is the life of God's wonderful people. Of course, I sicken him. I sicken him because I surfaced. And the reason that I do Ram Radio is that I'm trying to get some of you people to surface. You can have these conversations with these people, too. They are not untouchable. They really are not. When I think of all the years and the money and the time and the hundreds and hundreds of hours that I've spent studying God's word, going to seminary and all of that, when I think of all the great radio presentations that I used to listen to by the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee, when I think about how he slammed them, and I know that God has called me to do the exact same thing. It brings joy to my heart. And for this joker to call me petty, it's not petty. This is what being bold in the faith is all about. I guess some people would think that I need to be meek and gentle. Oh, no. I'm listening to everything everybody says. And this is the way that Christianity is. And it is my premise to say that if you are not like this and you call yourself a leader in the Christian faith and you're not like this, that there's something wrong with you, that you've been